There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Welcome to the family with
Andy Brandt Bernard.
Possible jailbird, Catherine Brandt.
Jailbird. It's all true. She's going to prison. There's no question about it.
I don't know. I mean, with my luck, I wouldn't doubt it.
She's got to make an appearance today because she parked at a meter, paid the meter, came out, there was still time on the meter, and they still gave her a ticket for an expired meter.
22 minutes left.
Yeah, 22 minutes left. They gave her a ticket. And you know why we were told that she got a ticket? Because the car has a Minnesota plate on it. And they just think if you're out of town, you're not going to want to mess with coming back to go to court. So they just give people tickets with out-of-town license plates.
Maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't know. It's just really irritating. And the reason why we were down at the courthouse was to get a car re-registered into the state of Florida.
Yep.
Which we waited for 2 hours for.
Yep.
And then went to there and we got our time. That's with an appointment.
Yeah, with an appointment.
With an appointment. Yep. It's 2 hour wait. Then we get up there and she said, you didn't put in that it was an out-of-town license plate.
Mm. Unbelievable.
And kicked us out of line.
They did. They
and
kicked
said,
us out of line.
You have to redo this whole thing. So we come back out and I've got a ticket.
It was a great day, Andy. That's
yes,
all we're saying.
It's just been a great day.
Had a really smooth day. No question. So anything, any good news? Anything good going on?
No. I'm mad.
Nothing at all?
No, I got my biopsy reports from all my skin crap.
Yeah.
Apparently I have a squamous cell on my nose.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which means they're going to hack the hell out of my nose, which
is
it does. Fantastic. I'm so mad. I mean, nobody is more careful than me.
That's true.
I wear sunscreen every single day. I wear hats at the beach. I'm in the shade all the time. I am like a vampire. I stay away from getting too much sun. And then, of course, you know, if you tell people that this happens, and you've got the people that say, the reason why you're getting skin cancer is because you wear sunscreen.
That doesn't seem
you
right.
You shouldn't be out there with sunscreen on. I'm like, I wear all mineral sunscreen. What do you want from me?
Are there any products that do what they're supposed to do? Sunscreen gives you cancer. That's great.
I don't know if I believe that.
Apparently there's been a couple of studies about chemical sunscreens and chlorine in pools.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not like a swimmer who's out in the pool 2 hours a day or something like that. I go to the pool with the kids and, you know, jump in and out. Not in this pool 24 hours a day. It's hard to believe that that would be the issue. But I don't know. I was researching this because I just have had so many basal cells, blah, 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 in the last 2 years. I'm supposed to take niacinamide. I don't know. Apparently that's something that prevents you from getting skin cancer.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know if it actually works.
Well, it's just vitamin B3.
Yes, but apparently there's different kinds of niacin, and you don't want the kind that makes you get, like, flushed and stuff. Niacinamide is different.
I will ask again, do any of these products actually work?
I don't know. I mean, I did fry as a child. I mean, I fried. I was constantly peeling skin off my nose and my shoulders. And that's where the majority of everything is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they say it's from skin damage from many, many years ago.
Yeah, it can
be. I guess would make sense because I did have a lot of sunburns as a kid.
Do you think genetics has something to do with it, that some people are just kind of hell-bent to get skin cancer?
Hell-bent? Well, my father had a bunch of them, but he's like me, light-skinned. Light eyes, light hair, German descent.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also out in the sun all the time. He grew up on a river in Jamestown, North Dakota, and they were constantly outside. He was out golfing. He was out fishing. He was sunburned all the time. And if you have to remember, even when I was a child, what did we have for SPF? 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. You used sun products to get more tan, not to prevent skin cancer.
Right.
So, who's right? I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I know.
So what's going on? What's going on in the news? Anything big?
I don't even, who wants to watch the news?
Well, you got to know what's going on in the world.
Well, it's always terrible. It's always, we're going to go to war with everybody. Everybody hates everybody. I'm just like, I just, why would you want to watch it? Because it's always terrible.
Well, because I wanted to bring up, so I brought this up on the morning show as well, and I'll bring it up again right now. It kind of amazes me that I'm watching the news every day and all the rest of it, and they all talk about, and look, I'm not the most religious guy in the world. That's not where this is coming from. I just don't understand their approach to things and how angry the world is and hateful the world is right now. But then I listen to them talk, and they all talk about God is dead and there's no such thing as God. Oh, my God. But apparently there is a devil, because this guy's a devil and that guy's a devil and this is evil. And that. So why would people rather believe there is a devil than believe there is God? Makes no sense to me.
Mm.
What do you think?
I just think it's all just negative rhetoric gets more attention.
Yeah, people are just addicted to being upset.
That's what it is. They're just addicted to being upset. They make the world a much worse place.
Yep.
Yes.
Why do they want it like that? I just don't get that.
It gives them some sort of adrenaline rush.
Negativity gives you adrenaline rush. I had an adrenaline rush last night, Andy. You know what gave me an adrenaline rush?
What?
Your mom gave me a very big hug good night last night, and it made me feel great.
Well, all right, then.
There you go.
I mean, but isn't that how the world's supposed to be?
Yep, everyone should hug it out instead of vomit out.
You should hug it out. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that would be good.
I just don't understand. So basically, are they taught they should feel negative things rather than positive?
No, it makes them feel important, I think.
It's all this social outrage. That's why every, white housewife type person is, soccer mom is thinking that they're an activist now.
Yep.
It gives them some purpose
in
life.
It makes them feel important,
part of a process that is so overdue and necessary. And
yep,
they think
I'm
that they're
slaying the oldest.
Slaying the dragons.
Slaying the oldest dragon of all. There's racism, sexism, et cetera, whatever ism.
Climate change.
And I'm going to fix it because I'm important and I know better than everyone else.
Yep, and if I just cause enough grief to everybody around me, it'll all be fixed.
Well, there's a phenomenon, recent one named, called main character syndrome, where people see themselves as the main character in a story. And that is the driving force of most of this kind of activism. You read any hero's journey style book or watch a show or whatever, and it's all about, there's this problem and one person can fix it, and anything that gets in that person's way is bad, and anyone that helps them is good, and eventually they fix the problem and save the world. And that is how these people see themselves, as if I can just amass enough power, I can fix all the world's problems because I am the main character and I'm destined to do so. So if you get in my way, then you're just automatically evil and should probably die.
You're going to get yourself locked out of there.
You don't need to talk about this on the show. I'm just trying to get it fixed
just
out.
Just leave it alone.
God, I don't know why everything's such a pain in the ass.
It's interesting because I've got, I followed Jason DeRusha on X, and he posted something about that these whistleblowers that are talking about what's going on in media, how journalists, if they say anything against the regime, literally.
Yeah, you cannot do that.
In the United States, that they're being fired, they're being sanctioned. There's this woman, what's her name? She said something about that the Democrats were doing something bad, and they literally fired her and are taking all her notes and trying to, destroy her.
This happened in Minnesota?
No, I think she's a national news figure. Let me see what
she's saying. National news figure.
Yeah, that's been... people aren't paying attention. They are not paying attention.
That's interesting. You read him. Do you read him a lot? You follow him?
Yeah, I follow him. He comments on some of my stuff sometimes.
Oh, does he? Like what?
Just general stuff.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that guy hates my guts.
Well, maybe he doesn't know who I am.
No. Maybe he's right. That's what I thought.
Didn't we have him on the show one time?
One time, yeah. Remember how uncomfortable he was, though, he came in studio?
I don't know why he would come on if he hated your guts.
Well, he's never been a fan, I know that.
Mike from Blaine says, Catherine Herridge.
That's right. I was going to say it was something like that. Yep, that, if you can look up that story. Okay, so Jason DeRusha.
Yeah, we had Jason on episode 121. Maybe I'll put that one out this weekend.
Yeah, he's been a Minnesota journalist forever.
Was he at Channel 5? Where was he?
I don't know where he is. But anyway, he said, news organizations rely on whistleblowers to tell stories important to our communities. But whenever someone whistleblows on a media organization, boom, suspended. And he's referencing this other site called the Free Press. Senior NPR editor, Uberliner, excuse me, has been suspended from the public radio network he's served for 25 years after sharing concerns about bias in the Free Press.
That's all he brought up was bias in the Free Press, and they fired him?
Yep.
This is how horrible people have gotten. That's horrible.
And, of course, my response to that is, yes, you can see why trust in the press is so low. Mm-hmm. It's become a crucial part of the political military complex.
That's yep, true.
Sure
which
has.
Is very true. I mean, it's gotten to the point where you just don't, you have no idea if there's any truth in the press.
Nope, I just don't trust anything no they idea. Say, ever.
That's why, you know, that's why everybody's so upset. One of the reasons is because nobody knows who to trust anymore. So if you've got these blindly subservient types that are just going to believe something because they've always listened to NPR.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then you find out that everybody on NPR is basically a left-wing activist.
Mm-hmm.
Which colors the... If you're an activist, you can find problems with absolutely everything.
Yep.
There's too many robins. There should be more sparrows. You know, we should do something about that because blah, blah, blah. They can find a reason to be mad about anything.
Yep. No, there's no question about that. Everybody's angry, and they're angry about everything. They must get a lot of attention on social media
they
from that.
They get loads of attention from social media. I mean, we've known people that have gotten a lot of attention on social media, and it's ruined their careers.
It has.
Because they think that there's something that they're not.
Yep. Yeah, there's no... Well, the biggest problem we got right now, we talked about that this morning, as a matter of fact, with KB2, is the fact that media is going to change. Well, Andy, you probably have the right age to comment on this, too, that media, do we really need television anymore? Local television? Do we need radio? Do we need podcasts? Do we need any of the... Seriously, do we need human beings anymore? Can't everything just be AI?
No, AI is not even close to as powerful as people think it is.
Oh, okay, because I don't know anything about
that. It still can just be unplugged, so it that can't too. Be that powerful.
Well, I mean, but the problem is, I still watch the news. I'm one of the only people I know that watches the local news.
Yeah, there's a few people in the world that are in their 70s, 80s, that still read the newspaper, too, I understand.
Yeah, nobody reads the newspaper anymore. No. I mean, you know, Andy, look, here's the difference in the world now. There was a newspaper on your doorstep every morning, and then when you got home at night after work, you looked in the TV guide to see what was going on.
Yeah,
in
the back of the...
I remember going to the Channel 3, the TV guide channel.
Oh, the TV guide channel. It's absolutely true. That's how much it's changed. The problem is this change... A lot of it has been made so they'd have more control over you than they've ever had before.
I mean, just because people say they don't watch TV, they're still watching stuff on their devices.
Device, yeah.
They're watching it on their tablet. They're watching it on their phone. They're getting their news from TikTok or YouTube.
Big mistake.
Or some sort of social media site. They're just not watching traditional TV. As you know, I think what they're talking about is network TV or cable TV.
Yeah.
Almost everybody's got Netflix on their phone or something. Mm-hmm. So they're watching content. I really don't understand why you'd rather watch a movie on your phone than on a large screen.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's much more comfortable to sit back and watch a movie mm-hmm. on a television screen than it is to sit there with your little phone with your neck crunched down. I don't understand that, but I guess that's just how a lot of people are. A lot of younger people aren't even buying televisions. They just use their devices for everything.
Yeah.
To watch television.
I never turned my television on back before I met Melissa.
No?
I had a TV. I never used it.
Really?
Well, you were always gaming, right?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like
if you were home.
If I was watching something, I was probably watching it on my second screen on my computer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, fine. I wouldn't watch it on a phone, though.
Yeah, it's still a screen. You know, no matter how you talk about it, it's still, people are consuming things. It's just in a different manner, whether it's like, you know, on a computer screen or a cell phone or a tablet. They're still watching stuff, but they're not watching the local news.
No, they're not.
Which, you know, I mean, really, if you want to be an activist, your local politicians are more likely to be infiltrated by other people if you really wanted to, and are more apt to listen to you if you get an angry mob to go to the city council meetings. There's not much you can do about the national government, the Fed. You can't do anything about the federal government.
No, they're in it for the money anyway.
Yeah, well, because they'll just jail you if they don't like what you say forever.
That's exactly right.
But you can
right.
show up to city council meetings and you can start complaining and actually having a voice. But I don't know. I think we're just all too polite in Minnesota to say anything or do anything about anything or something. Or too...
Well, plus Minnesotans.
Too timid, or I don't know what it is.
A lot of them, and look, my best friends in the world are Minnesotans. My family's from Minnesota, all the rest of it.
I understand.
But they are the biggest backstabbers in America. There's no doubt about that.
But everybody I know is mad about what's going on in Minnesota.
What I'm saying.
But everybody just moves. They just move instead of do something about it.
Unfortunately, growing up in Minnesota was heaven. It was wonderful. To walk downtown Minneapolis was fantastic. Go across the river to St. Paul, it was wonderful. Why we had to change everything about America because it was apparently white men that built it all. They got to change everything. It's like, why?
There's a lot of white guilt and white self-loathing in Minnesota, definitely.
There is a ton of that in Minnesota. But again, why don't we do this? You built it. A bunch of white men built this whole thing. Why don't we just go shoulder to shoulder and make it even better with other people's input? Why don't we make it better, not worse?
Well, like I said, it's the easiest thing in the world to control people by fear.
It's true.
That has been since biblical times. If you're afraid of something, you're going to be easily manipulated.
Yeah, it's true. Look, and again, I have many, many... Look, there's nobody on God's green earth more liberal than Mike Gelfand. He is way far left.
Has he met my brother, Daryl?
Well, that's true. But I love Mike Gelfand. He's been a friend of mine for 40 years. I think the world of the guy. I don't care what his politics are. Do I think he controls the United States? No. So why do I care that he's so extreme? I don't. Mike Lindell is a very, very far right guy. I think the world of him the same way. One's far left, one's far right. It's not their politics I give a rat's ass about. It's who they are as a human being. And both of them are very nice, kind people. Mike Lindell couldn't be a more giving human being than he is. But people, just because he has extreme, in their opinion, I guess, these extreme political views, like Mike Gelfand has extreme political views, I don't care. They're my friends. I love them. You believe whatever you need to believe because you and I are not controlling the government.
That's right.
But why can't we get past that?
Because people don't want to.
Well, like I said, main character syndrome. They think they do control everything. It's just they're being held back by someone.
Yeah, so that's what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's true. I mean, I have relatives that haven't talked to me in 25 years because of their political beliefs.
Oh, I've heard that all the time, ever since COVID happened.
Yeah.
The vaccination really started polarizing people. Whether or not you believe that the vaccination was going to be the savior of, of the world.
Yeah.
And you weren't allowed to question it. It wasn't even FDA approved.
I just say, I think it'll work, but I don't want to live life on easy mode, so I didn't take it.
Yeah, there you go. One thing
give me the challenge.
Yeah.
There you go. One thing that came as a shock is hopping back on social media after being off it for 12 years, and maybe it's the way they handle it now or whatever. I haven't gotten one negative message on social media, so they must filter those out, I guess.
No, I think that just why would you follow someone's fan page if you were going to be negative about it?
Some people do like to make you crazy. And
they do.
Well, that is true, but I don't know.
But the people on Facebook could not be nicer to me. They're very, very kind. It's not the, you know, the sucking up, kiss ass kind of kind either. They're actually, hey, you've got a really nice, you know, thing going on. You're at Livia. You got the weight loss deal going. You're doing a lot of walking. I'm going to start lifting weights again in another few months. You know, those people want to be happy for me, and I want to be happy for them. That was not what it was like 12 years ago when I got off social media. So every time there's something new to use, the people get really nuts about it, and then eventually they settle in.
Well, 12 years ago, you had a lot of stuff going on at the station.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people were very polarized with that.
But I still don't understand the whole situation. I also don't understand how they got away with saying things about me that were not true in the least, but nobody came to my defense.
Well, you had, you know, you were the wrong gender and you were the wrong
color.
Everything.
Yeah, I suppose.
You were just bad news.
I guess. I'm still grateful. I've had a wonderful career. And I'm very serious. The people on Facebook, I think the world, there's not one prick on there. They're all very, very, and you know what? They got their, like, I'll give you an example. My first week on Livia, I lost 10 pounds. And a guy wrote, I'm not trying to be the bad guy here, but I'm going to be that guy. Isn't losing 10 pounds in 1 week not very good for your health? See, and I like that, the fact that he asked me that question. Because then I asked the people at Livia, and they said, no, I mean, that'll happen with a guy. I'm a bigger person, so I can lose weight faster. I guess the bigger you are, the easier it is. And you know,
well, you've always been able to dump a lot of weight in, like, 30 days. It's always been amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because if I want to lose 5 pounds, it could take me 4 months.
Well, you're not overweight.
Basically doing nothing but exercising and eating no carbs at all.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's easier to lose weight the more overweight you are.
No, and I'm not talking about losing weight necessarily. I'm just talking about how, you know, if you got a lot of muscle mass, you're going to burn a lot of calories.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Speaking of a lot of muscle mass, we got Tim Lammers on with us.
Oh, what? Look at him.
Musclehead.
Beefy Tim, we call him.
Is that what you're saying, Musclehead? That's what you're talking about?
Musclehead.
What's happening, Pally?
Excuse me, I have to settle in here. I got a quick way of losing weight. 7 pounds in a day when you're prepping for a colonoscopy. How about
that? Yeah. That'll do it.
Gross. Thanks. Jeez,
that'll do it.
I don't know
why it came up yesterday, but I told my wife, I said, it's been 2 years since another 8 years. Yeah, I got another 8 years before I have to do it again. And oh, you baby. And it's like, you know what? Every 2 minutes, run to the toilet, run. I do not look forward to that. I mean, because, no. I think no. The big fear is somebody, they're going to, what they do with the actual procedure. No, you're out for that. Although, Tommy, you're awake for that, aren't you usually? I've heard you talk about it before.
Colonoscopies?
Well, they have to give you something. They have to give you some sort of muscle relaxant.
It depends. It'll range from, sedation to completely being knocked out.
Yeah, otherwise you'd tighten up down there and they wouldn't.
Well, no, let me tell you. So about
tighten up down there.
About 15-ish years ago, I had a colonoscopy. And so they put in the sedative line and everything, and they were like, okay, we're going to give you the sedative now, and we'll start the procedure. And it didn't take a whole lot of time for me to be like, this is insanely painful. And they're like, oh, no, you just have to relax. And I'm like, no, this, hurts like hell. And they're like, oh, your IV perforated. You weren't getting any of the sedative.
So
we're just
going to fix that real quick.
Can anybody do their job?
And then as soon as they basically just knocked me out after that, because the problem is they have to fill your colon up with air, which makes it, that is what hurts.
Oh.
But if you're sedated, you don't care. Oh. I've had probably 5 or 6 of them, and only that one has gone wrong. But just, make sure your IV is good. Only one. One in 5.
1 out of 5. Great odds.
Just have them make sure that the sedative is actually working before they start the procedure.
Yeah, Tim. Well, double check that.
For me, it was like, okay, you're going to, about 10 seconds, you're going to fall asleep. 10. Not. I mean, I was like, oh.
Nice.
And I think that would be your check right there. Okay, is the dude out? Slap his face. Throw water on his face. So, it's clear that I was out.
A friend of mine, she had a colonoscopy last year and it came back with a cancerous polyp.
Oh, man.
But they got it all, they thought, and she had to have a little bit of chemo, like six doses of chemo just to make sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good to catch it early. Good to catch it early.
Yeah. And you know what? And I waited till it was, I'm 59, so I didn't get my first one until I was 57. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. It kind of, and I will admit this. I mean, it's like you're scared of getting cancer, so you put it off. Well, putting it off is not helping anything.
Right.
So now I'm a big proponent of just do it because, again, catching it early. This is a weird thing because, with my wife, she caught her breast cancer early. Still got a double mastectomy. Yeah. But another year, if she didn't have that sharp-eyed radiologist, a year later, man, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Yeah, another friend of mine, she was, I think she was just in her, she was in her 50s, and she had a very, very aggressive colon cancer, and she was super healthy, thin, ate, all that stuff, and she ended up having a whole year, I think, of chemo. So, you really don't know by body type or anything.
So I have a question for you guys, just talking about this, because about a year or two ago, when I had that melanoma cut out of my cheek a year ago.
A good year ago. Maybe
at least. It was probably 2.
Yeah, it was probably 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
Well, you were wearing the patches at the retirement party.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's
also.
Right.
I guess it was only a year ago.
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
Well, has it been? Yeah, you're in a.
You've been off.
Yeah, year and a half, something like that.
For how long?
Since December 24th, 22. Yeah.
Yeah. So year and a half.
Yeah. So.
Year and a half, but the reason I bring that up is because they brought me into the surgery to cut this thing out of my face. They had to cut, my right cheek, pretty big cut in it. They said, okay, we're going to put you under. And I said, you don't have to. They said, what? I said, you don't have to put me under. I don't care about stuff like this. They said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And they did the whole operation. Operation's over. They said, you know, I got to, you're a first. And I said, and it doesn't mean I'm like some tough guy or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But that stuff doesn't bother me. And they finished the surgery. Said, we got to tell you something. We didn't put you under. You were right. You didn't care when we do it. And as a matter of fact, in the middle of it, you fell asleep for about 5 minutes.
Well,
you're weird.
What is that?
I had a
local anesthetic or anything?
Well, yeah, of course they got local.
Of course. They
do that. They did the local, but they didn't put me under.
I had Mohs before, and they didn't put me under for it.
Yeah, I had a lipoma removed with just local anesthetic, and they have to dig pretty deep for those.
Digging.
If they put enough crap in there, you're not going to feel it. But a lot of people, they do like... The idea of being cut into just makes them freak out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Put me under.
They did a magnificent job. There's no scar or anything.
I don't know how many people I know that have had a melanoma or a squamous cell or something on their face, and they really can make it look amazingly good now.
Yeah. The Mohs procedures to thank for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. So, all right, Timmy, we got to get to the subject here. What's going on in television, the movie theaters? What's happening?
I heard you talking last week about Ripley.
Love Ripley.
Yeah, we watched another
it's
one last night.
It's a really good series. I am through 5, I think.
No, we've only done 2.
It's when the stuff really starts to heat up with the... if you're aware of the talented Mr. Ripley, the actual Patricia Highsmith novel, or the movie 99 with Matt Damon and Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh,
this is a great cast here too. So it's really a slow burn though. I will say that. It was kind of driving my wife nuts because it's such of a slow burn till they get, you know, you're building up to, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, the guy's a grifter and you know, things are going to get deadly. But it's such a great cast. And, you know, it's this guy, Andrew Scott. If you've ever seen the show Fleabag on Amazon Prime.
I love Fleabag.
Oh, my God. He's hot priest. Right, he's in season 2.
Right. He's
hot priest.
Oh,
and he was in a movie. I didn't see All of Us Strangers, acclaimed movie in 2023. But a great actor. And then you got Dakota Fanning.
That's
for a second,
who it is.
My wife thought it was Amanda Seyfried, but no,
yeah,
it's like, no. You know, they resemble each other, don't they?
Yeah.
And then this guy who plays Dickie Greenleaf, Johnny Flynn, he's really good. I mean, they got a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kenneth Lonergan is the old man, Greenleaf, who wrote and directed, and I believe he won an Oscar for writing Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, yeah. It's a great,
The movie. Yeah, because he's actually known more for being a director and a writer than he is an actual actor, but he's a great actor. And he actually appeared in Manchester by the Sea just briefly. And this series is directed by Steven Zaillian, who is also a very talented guy. I mean, it's just talent all around, and you got to love it that it's in black and white, right?
Sorry, hello? Catherine got disconnected again.
Oh, disconnected my little light, so now I'm in the dark. Oh,
no, she's in the dark.
Right.
Yeah, that light's
kind
of a piece of crap. I don't like that light.
Oh, well,
but how do I get my computer back on?
I'll monkey with it after the show.
Monkey.
Well, plug it into your computer. It's on now, right? So.
I don't have the.
You don't have any ports?
Maybe I have a port.
You want this? Here she goes.
There
she's doing
go.
It now.
There we go. Sorry. Technical difficulties. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we got to get it right.
As you can tell, I always struggle with lighting because I'm in this open space. And it's actually. Mm-hmm. Still raining outside right now, so it's overcast, and that affects my light, and it just seems to shift and all that kind of weird stuff.
Yeah.
So if it seems like I'm sitting in a closet or something, now it's just lightened up.
All
of a sudden just lit up again. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but speaking of light, black and white, that series, that's what really makes it intriguing to me. It's so stark.
Yeah.
And I really think it's terrific. Has anybody watched Fallout yet?
I don't know. It doesn't work.
No, I have not. No, they haven't. I don't know if Tom would like it. Uh-huh. Apparently, well, how sci-fi-y is it? Because Fallout can go anywhere from not at all to, you know, vertibirds and laser pistols and stuff.
Nothing like that. I mean, your weaponry is advanced. It's weird because it's got that retro feel. Yep. Like it's
the 50s, it's the 50s basically forever. Right? Yeah.
So yes. And then, so I love the retro feel of that. Mm-hmm. And then you have this post-apocalyptic thing going on where it's just a wasteland.
It's pretty bright now. Look at that.
Oh my God, it's like the light of the sun.
It's also the wrong camera. I can tell by looking at it.
Make it stop. Oh my God, that was bright. Wrong camera.
Yeah, it's your built-in camera. I can tell by looking at it. But if you don't care, it doesn't matter. But
I don't care.
Yeah.
So I would say, if not for any other reason, Tom, Walton Goggins.
Love him. Just love Walton Goggins. We talked about that before.
Yeah, he appears as the ghoul. He's this nuclear irradiated cowboy. But they have a fair amount of stuff prior to where you get his backstory, where it's Walton Goggins.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said something to me last week. God, he's got great teeth. I believe the dude's got the $1 million smile because he actually had teeth knocked out.
He actually paid $1 million for it?
That's what I thought. Google it. Is Walton Goggins' teeth real? But he does have that $1 million smile. But as you know, we were talking about on the show last Friday on the morning show, couldn't talk to a nicer guy. More appreciative guy.
Great guy.
Walton Goggins has lost his front teeth twice.
How was that?
Oh man.
Is he a boxer or something? MMA? What's he up to?
Let's see. So yeah, when he was a kid, he got him knocked out, and then, but you know, it's like you're a kid, you're gonna get him back. Yeah. The first time he took a baseball to the mouth.
Ow.
Yeah. He and he didn't know it was coming, so he turned around to speak with his mouth open, and the baseball went into his mouth and broke his teeth off.
That is some bad luck.
Gross.
Right there.
And then once again, he dove into the shallow end of a swimming pool.
Oh,
you're not supposed to do that.
His face?
Worst possible thing.
Slammed into the bottom of the pool face first.
If it's a car accident or something, at least there's a chance pretty good that you're not going to remember it. But I seem to think that you would remember diving into a shallow end of the pool.
Yeah.
You would think.
Jesus. So Walton, I mean, and the great part about this is that his name is trending on Twitter constantly. People are finally seeing how freaking talented he is. And guys like Michael Chiklis, who had him in The Shield, is just over the moon over the attention that Walton Goggins is receiving for this role. So I think you should check it out, Tom. I mean, you know, it is sci-fi, yes, but it's not like Buck Rogers sci-fi. You know, it's futuristic, but you know, it's the whole idea of, well, these high-tech underground vaults were built as a fallout shelter, you know, when the big nukes dropped.
Right.
And then after 200 years, after generation upon generation of people were living there, one of them emerges onto what is, you know, the nuclear wasteland 200 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some people that survive, like Walton Goggins' character, who is Cooper Howard, who is this cowboy actor from the 1950s era, who essentially morphed into this cowboy. He's in this nuclear irradiated cowboy that's been stalking the earth for 200 years. And it's kind of got that good, the bad, and the ugly feel, you know. It's a gunslinger. So I love the cool retro feel of it.
Everything's retro.
Yeah, the TV they show at the beginning, I want one of them. I mean, the first thing you see in the show, at the beginning of every show, is this retro TV where they have the company credits or something like that. And it's like, yeah, this is a cool series. And I really didn't play the video game, so what I think about it and what people who have played it, it might differ. Well, Ralph Basham, He was talking about how much he says his video game addiction is a sickness. Mm-hmm. He's addicted to Fallout.
He's the kind of guy who will get like he'll get into a video game and play that game for like 500 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I sent him a story last night that covered two things: Dune and Fallout.
Yeah.
Because he's a big Dune fan too. So, but yeah, I can't wait to talk with him. What to see what he thinks about the series? Because I know he did not like the remake of Dune.
Yeah.
I don't know if he saw the second part, but
I don't think he has.
No.
So I brought this up yesterday, but no one in the family had any idea what the hell I was talking about. Have you seen the Last Airbender live action remake?
No, I haven't. Was it an animated show before?
It was an animated show, and then there was the M. Night Shyamalan movie, which
right,
everyone
which
hated. And now it's the second live action remake, but this one's a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I know of The Last Airbender is the animated show because my kids watched it.
Yeah, and I watched it too when it was new.
They are this close to tuning in. It's one of those things. It's kind of like loving a video game. It's like, is this really ever going to live up to the original
right.
thing?
Right.
So they're kind of leery about it. Just like my youngest two didn't want to see Super Mario Brothers right away.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They waited till it came on streaming, then they saw it, and then they loved it. Mm-hmm. So there's that sort of trepidation about it. But
well, the thing about Super Mario Brothers is as early as the 80s, they were making bad, cheesy shows and movies about Mario. I mean, you had the Mario Brothers Super Show that started with a rap. We had the Super Mario Brothers movie where the Goombas had like these weird heads and they were like dinosaur mutants. Very weird. Super Mario World. So they've been doing this forever. It's, you know, being a gamer and being into like video game shows, you expect it to be horrible. So the Mario Brothers movie was actually like a breath of fresh air there.
It was fantastic. And again, I had never really played the game. You know, you see the kids playing it, et cetera. Yeah, that live action one. I don't even know if I caught that one. I know that Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins were Mario and Luigi. But you're right. I mean, those like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, how many goes did they have to give that one before something caught on? I mean, the guys in the suits sort of thing that they first did, you know, I did see those. And you know, there's a certain charm about them. But things have come a long way, and they tried to do CGI with Michael Bay. And now this most recent animated one is actually pretty decent. It's just a really grungy-looking, different style of animation. So, you know, the turtles are turtles. People just love them. But I know that I would not want to be a filmmaker or an actor that's saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to try my adaptation of this.
Yeah.
People are going to just presume right away that it's going to suck.
Although that might be changing because, I mean, the Mario movie was good. The Sonic movie was good. They're making good TV shows about this kind of thing now. Sonic's got a bunch of TV shows, which I didn't even know about. And, you know, they're doing well. I think
series that they're doing based off of Sonic with Idris Elba. He's, what's the name of the
Knuckles.
Character? Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
I think TV's the way to go, though, because, you know, this Fallout, if you would have squeezed everything into a 2-hour frame for Fallout, you can't win. But when you got 8 episodes to play out that story, man, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
So they got streaming. They might as well do it because streaming, man, you know, it's been up and down for a lot of them. And you had the streaming boom with the pandemic, and then a lot of streamers lost their asses. Showtime Plus, I think, is shutting down. Oh. More or less, you're seeing all of their streaming stuff on Paramount Plus now anyway. Right. So some are actually going away. There's talk of some of them merging.
Yeah.
Because once they had that boom with streaming where everybody was locked in their houses, you know, everybody's subscribing and stuff, but theaters come back, people are going out again. All of a sudden, they're sinking the same sort of money into productions and losing their asses. And they realized you can't spend $200 million anymore, Netflix, on a movie starring The Rock and Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot. So, yeah, so the Netflix is deemed like the one that came out the least unscathed out of all of this stuff. They're thriving. But there are other streaming places that are really struggling right now.
I'm going to ask you about that because it's interesting you bring that up. Because Catherine and I'm thinking about going back and watching Justified from the very beginning, not to bring up Walton Goggins because he was great in that show. But Catherine and I went and started an episode one of season one of Doc Martin, and it's every bit as good as we remember it being.
I haven't seen that yet. I mean, and talking about so Goggins, good. I'd love to see The Shield again with him and Chiklis. Again, talking about another great guy, Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
You know, just great guys, great actors. And you know what? I bet you are going to see after people, because, you know, we've known who Walton Goggins is for years, but unfortunately, some people don't.
Yeah.
And it takes a show like this that appeals to a younger generation to discover, I mean, I guess for the first time, shows like Justified or The Shield. I mean, the guy's been in so much stuff. So this is a big boom for his career, and I'm so happy because you love to see guys like that get their just due. You really do.
Sure.
No, you're absolutely right. There's so much. I do think that television is the best it's ever been because of streaming.
No,
it also has destroyed other areas. So I guess there's good and there's bad.
You know, cable's got to be on its last legs. I mean, broadcast television has been on its last legs for a long, long time. So, you know, it's changed the landscape of things. And again, it's just one of those deals when they got out of the gate, they overshot the runway with the amount of money they stuck in it. And Disney Plus, I know, is hit hard by it as well. And then you have fatigue. I mean, superhero fatigue. I know Marvel laid off 15 people yesterday because they're producing fewer Marvel movies now because it's just superhero fatigue. Nobody cares about
this. It was so ridiculous for so long.
You know, three or four movies a year.
It was nuts.
Or Disney Plus shows. So, and Star Wars is the same thing. I mean, it's just they're losing their shine, you know, and they're just watering things down too much. But I'm glad Fallout's here, though. Hey, I didn't get a chance to talk with you guys about OJ.
Ugh.
I heard Kristen's report on that.
Fired up.
Now, Tom, I have to. I realized a mistake that I made with a headline. It would have been a better headline, but it wasn't the focus of the story. I sent Tom a story. You know, because when something like that happens, everybody writes the same story. So it's like, well, I got to come up with something different here. What angle can I find? And then I remembered how there was talk about OJ being cast as the Terminator.
Right, yes.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger claims, this is the subhead, it should have been the head. Schwarzenegger says Jim Cameron thought Simpson was not believable as a killing machine.
Oh,
that's cold.
Very believable.
The story, the lead I went with was that Cameron was pitched. This did happen. Cameron was pitched by a studio exec. Okay, are you sitting? I mean, it's one of these Hollywood things. Okay, are you sitting? I got an idea for the Terminator.
Oh, God.
O.J. Simpson. And Cameron immediately shut it down. But Schwarzenegger claims that Cameron did indeed cast Simpson first. And then, I mean, his words, it's on video. Mm-hmm. And so who knows what really happened. But the reaction, one thing that I've read was that the guy, the lawyer that's representing his estate, will not, absolutely will not give anything to the Goldmans.
Well, they already didn't they lose? He lost a bunch of millions in the civil case.
Yeah, and they never and they really never paid. He never really paid the Goldmans anything.
He
yeah.
didn't.
No, he never paid.
No. Them. He found ways of getting stuff protected, so he didn't.
Well, they said that his NFL pension was not touched. They, you cannot touch his NFL pension.
Well, so, you do have to have money to live on, I guess. So
even if you murdered two people.
Well, he would. He didn't get well, convicted of it, so
he did not.
I don't understand.
It's just like, why do you have to? I mean, I don't know what the guy's estate is worth.
Probably not. Much
can't
anymore.
Be as much as you would think it would be because no. of. Everything, but I mean, what is the point here? Why do you got to be such a hard ass with the Goldmans now?
I know. Wow. It makes
what is
no
the
sense.
Point? So whatever.
And the other side of that, of course, one of my favorite people in the world, Philip Wise, thinks that O.J. Simpson was just a great guy. Isn't that amazing?
I know. I mean, and you, I heard you mention about that to Kristen. And another great thing is if you check out O.J. Made in America. Mm-hmm. Philly Dog had his the distinction with him was he was the guy that tackled OJ when OJ broke the
right.
then NFL yep. rushing record.
That's yep.
right.
You see Wise on the back of that New York Jets jersey. It's cool. I mean, it's really yeah. cool. And you know what? And I told him I got to send it to him because I want him to sign it. My youngest son, Quinn, gave me Philly's New York Jets card.
Oh,
football card yep. For Christmas. It's like Philly said, yeah, send it out. I'll sign it. I got to do it yet. So, but
that's nice.
Yeah, Philly. I heard from him. Well, he asked me, he goes, are you going to Chris O'Connor's retirement? Is that what he said?
Chris O'Connor's retiring?
Yeah. And I thought, well, does that mean you're coming back into town? Let me find the text. But he said, then he told me, no, I'm. You know, he's not feeling that good lately.
Philly. Yeah, I heard he's not feeling great at all. But, man, I've known Philip Wise for about 45 years. Met him over at, you know, once again, proving the kind of guy I am. I met him over at Cliff's house, who is now, Cliff's now a woman, by the way, but I'm apparently not, you know. I just love the fact that I've been involved with all these people my whole life, and they just go, hey.
You know, I can understand, though, why people, you know, that knew O.J. in the day. I mean, he was the man. I mean, he was he was handsome. He was, you know, a football
charming.
Star. Charming. I think
he's
he's
the Hertz rent-a-car guy.
He was. I mean, yeah. I remember thinking that he was really, you know, like an American hero. You really felt back when I was a kid. Mm. You know, for, yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Well. And I would love to talk with Pat Proft about this because he was one of the writers on The Naked Gun. He was in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, he was.
And I'm sure he was Mr. You know, I mean, what you see in public and what you see at home, two different things. And that's not exclusive to OJ. That's with a lot of different people.
That's
a lot of these different celebrities.
That is true.
Absolutely.
Philly says he's possibly getting his shoulder redone.
He is?
Oh, that sucks.
Isn't it Philip like 75 years old?
Like 72, 73.
Mm-hmm. He's older than that. I think he's older than me. I know that.
My wife, who actually had a rotator cuff surgery done, actually got a referral for him to go to see the great athletic. There's a great athletic doctor in the Twin Cities. And she said, you know, go to this guy and get your shoulder done, which he did, actually. But it still must be bothering him. That sucks.
Nicest guy
hopefully
in the world.
It's not a shoulder replacement because that can be bad.
Yeah, I think it was a rotator cuff.
Yeah, that's what you had a zillion years ago. Doug Becker did your rotator cuff, and that turned out great. So
it did.
Yeah, so I hope to see him again. I don't know, you know,
Philly.
Trying to talk. I told him I'd give him a call. It's been a while. I'd like to talk with him again, but
Phillip's a great.
At least he's in a nice. Well, not to say that it's been bad here, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a very unusual winter here.
Yeah, you don't get to say that too many years.
Vegas, because I know that he just hated the winter here. So.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he had to play football in Buffalo, so what the hell does he know?
Yeah, that's
New York
true.
Jets, excuse me. New York Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
back in the day, too, where I'll never forget it. You know, he says, I went into a game and. He clearly got a concussion.
Yeah.
But it's like two plays later, you just got your bell rung. Send him back in.
Get back in there, Philly dog.
Yeah, yeah. And you just think all those guys.
Yeah, if your eyes aren't swirling around like marbles in your head, you're fine.
And I think he told me then that might have been the last thing he remembered of that game.
Oh, wow.
Was being told to go back in. So, yeah, it's what a things have changed. And guess what? Then all of a sudden you get these mediocre players making multi-million dollar contracts.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Then when you had the NFL built on the shoulders of these guys,
right.
Many of them had part-time jobs off-season.
Oh, they absolutely
because they couldn't
did.
Make it. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's the one thing that really irritates me about the contracts these days is that, you know what? If it weren't for guys like Philip Wise, you wouldn't be near to making the amount of money that you do.
No,
they made the sport popular, and yeah, it sucks. It really
Why
sucks.
Didn't they go back and, hey, you know what? There's so many billions of dollars involved now. Why don't we go back and give these guys some dough?
Greed. Why would they want to give away money to somebody when they can keep it all for themselves?
They made the sport.
They don't
the sport
care.
What it is.
They want all the money. They need three yachts, not two.
I really do wonder, and I'll have to ask Philly about this without, you know, I'm not going to ask him about amounts or anything, but it would be interesting to see how well the NFL's pension program is taking care of these guys.
Yeah, that would be interesting because it's got to be a lot better than it used to be.
Especially when you've had a concussion like that. I mean, you would think that there would be a lifelong disability issue with that.
Well, and the one that he told me about.
Yeah.
You know, how many others do we have? Yeah.
Exactly.
That you didn't, and we've all been through it when we were younger, especially. Oh, you got your bell rung.
Oh,
when you're not realizing that you actually did get a concussion. And let me tell you a quick story, Patty. When she was a kid on a snowmobile, she had a scarf around her neck. Somehow it got caught up in one of the
Isadora Duncan.
Yep.
Smacked her head right on the
man.
And she got a concussion from that one. They knew that one was a concussion.
She's
it's lucky,
lucky
they didn't kill her.
Yeah. Ever since I watched that movie about Isadora Duncan, whenever I was outside in the winter doing any, I always wore a neck gaiter. I only wore a scarf like for fashion when I was I wasn't gonna get strangled by my own scarf.
What's Isadora Duncan? What is that? What do you
Isadora
I mean,
Duncan was a
dancer.
She was a very famous ballerina.
Yeah.
And she ended up riding in a convertible with a very long scarf and it got wrapped up in the wheel and
Killed her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Very famous movie scene.
Yeah, it is.
Tim Lammers.
Tim Lammers.
My memory only goes back so far.
That's pretty old.
You know what?
Movie.
She would probably know though, because she's really entrenched in the old Hollywood stuff. And you know who else is? Is Bob Sansevier. He would know too.
Oh, Sandy would know.
He is kind of like the 70s and beyond. So I will look it up though. A favorite movie scene. So
I think it was about her. I think it was about her life.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking that up. I'm going to Google it.
What was it called again?
I don't
know. It had a good name, but I can't remember it. It wasn't the Isadora Duncan story. It was a good name. I can't remember what it was, though.
Andy?
Well, there's one called The Dancer about a bunch of different ones. She's one of them.
That's not it. This is her own movie.
I think it was her own movie.
When would it have been made?
A long time ago.
Well, there was one called Isadora from 68.
That's probably it.
Oh, there you go.
See? 2 years before I, you know,
that's probably
memory
it.
Bank.
That's true.
Hey, I got to tell you quickly because I want to say hello for you guys. I'm talking with Gaffigan today.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jim Gaffigan, great guy.
You guys have known him forever, haven't you?
Yeah,
forever.
He was on the show a couple times.
Very early,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, very early.
Then he got big.
Then he got big and wouldn't talk to us anymore.
Okay, I'll tell him to talk to you guys.
Jim's
yeah,
great guy.
He's in a movie called Unfrosted. Which
Unfrosted.
Is directed and by Jerry Seinfeld, and every comedian known to anybody that you know is in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, for some strange reason, and maybe because once you watch a video on Facebook, then the algorithms kick in the gear, and next thing you know it, every day I'm seeing Jim Gaffigan, just little bits come up.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh every freaking day.
We went out to dinner. At a new restaurant, and we were talking about avocados, And I said, almost every time I buy avocados, I think about Jim Gaffigan. Because he had a comedy bit about buying avocados and throwing them right in the garbage. And nobody in the audience laughed. And he's like, is it just me? And I'm like, I get it.
Yep.
Well, and the other thing about it, and I'm definitely going to mention it to him. And Tom, we've talked about this. When he does a dramatic role, mm-hmm. there was a movie he actually did with Hart.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
You mentioned, and I agree. I mean, it's like, this is kind of like Philip Seymour Hoffman level.
Yeah, no, great call, because he kind of looked like anyway.
Yeah, and I think he might have mentioned it in one of the comedy bits, just about how they resemble each other, not about, you know, his roles. But, you know, whenever he does dramatic stuff, he's great at comedy, but when he does dramatic stuff, it's like, Jesus, this guy needs to be more of this.
Well, he's very good.
Yeah, we just watched a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie called The Pocket.
No, God's Pocket.
God's Pocket.
Yeah, God's Pocket. Yeah, phenomenal.
I guess we had seen it before, somebody said on social media, but we
I didn't remember.
I was like, I think we've seen this, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, Tom didn't even know he had died or anything.
Wow. Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman is in The Talented Mr. Ripley as well.
Oh, right. We need to watch that movie. I bet it's
and
really
Kate
good.
And Blanchett. Okay. They're supporting roles. But the guy that is in Ripley, who says, hey, come spend Christmas at my place, that's the role that Philip Seymour Hoffman played in the movie.
Oh,
I see, okay.
I've got a question about this plot.
This plot?
Yeah.
If I invited a virtual stranger to live in my villa in Italy, who was sent to kind of hunt me down, and I found him dressing in my clothes...
Yeah,
in my bedroom, I would say you have to go now.
Yeah, I would think
you would think.
I wouldn't be like, let's just forget about this and continue on. I just think that's the creepiest thing.
Well, and not only that, I think it was before that where he admitted to him that I was lying to you why I'm actually here.
Yeah, that was in the second episode.
Yeah, so it came early before on. All of that stuff. So it's like red flags. Springing well, I guess up it, all it, over the place.
It just goes to show how bored the idle rich are.
Yeah, good point.
Living in a tiny little village where they don't have any friends and don't speak the language, mm-hmm. I guess.
That Dickie Greenleaf, man, I'm telling you, he was like a forgiven guy because there were so many red flags that he's just like, nah. And then yet you have, the Dakota Fanning character.
Yep.
It's like there's something going on with this dude. But it's still interesting, though. It's really, it's so well done that you just, I guess it's kind of like, I got to see this through. Sometimes it's slow, but I got to see this through.
All right, Tim, before you go, Eric from the chat has a suggestion. He says, after your colonoscopy, you should go to the dentist so you can be clean from top to bottom.
Well, I'm not going to do that for another 8 years. So remember that one.
Eric does it on Facebook a lot. He likes to do that kind of stuff. It's great.
Thank you for the tip, Eric. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that on my calendar 8 years from now.
All right. That is going to do it, though. So, Timmy, we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, on Friday with the new, because he's the star, Alan Ritchson movie, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Alan Ritchson playing Reacher, right? Same guy?
Yeah, same guy. Same guy.
He's
Ministry
terrific.
Of what?
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, a Guy Ritchie movie, also starring Henry Cavill. So
I
haven't screened it yet, but I will before Friday.
Oh, it's a different Eric, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Eric on the chat, he says different Eric on Facebook. So
what is the Guy Ritchie show that we're watching?
A Gentleman.
Oh, The Gentleman, which is based on a great movie called The Gentleman.
Does he put Gentleman in the title of everything he makes?
I think so.
That seems strange.
Did he make
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No. Sean Connery's last movie, unfortunately.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
He was an asshole.
Okay, then.
He was an asshole, wasn't he?
He was?
Oh, yeah. He had a reputation on set where...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, God.
Sean Connery?
Read about it,
He was a big... temper tantrum thrower.
Him and Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
We're notorious for being very difficult to work with.
Oh, and Gene was a great guy when he used to be on the. He used to come on the show about his books all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a great guy.
But you know what? Some people are just, they don't want screwing around. You're there for a reason. You know, I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to vouch for Sean Connery, but there's got to be a reason. Or maybe they're just an a-hole.
Maybe they're just like Ellen DeGeneres.
Andy, how old were you when we went to Turnberry?
Probably 12-ish.
About 12, you think? Okay, so basically you're talking 25 years ago.
Yeah.
25 years ago, we're walking up the steps, and I will never forget this because it was so weird. Turnberry has a helicopter pad right in front of the hotel. We're going up the stairs. Helicopter lands on the helicopter pad, and out of the helicopter comes Jack Nicholson and Sean Connery. Where the hell are we? It's like, man.
Okay, well, I need to, before we go, do an impersonation of my favorite Sean Connery line from any of his movies.
Love to hear it.
Sean Connery, yes, like, you're the man, dog.
You're the man now, dog.
Very good. Like Sean Connery, you're the man. From that great movie, Finding Forrest, you're the man. It's like, Sean Connery, did you just really say that? Yes, you did.
Yes, he did.
You're the man, dog.
whatever.
That's a good one.
All right, we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Bye. Bye.